Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
You're cool.
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Half-Face Sam.
And happy Wednesday, everyone. It's Sean.
And online we have
happy Thursday, folks. Probably when you listen to it, right? Or, you know, whenever. It's Sean.
Yeah, but today's Wednesday. The best day of the week. Wednesday.
Why are you saying Wednesday?
Oh, we'll find out.
Well, this is
okay.
This is your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man reminding everybody to get their flu shots.
Sam,
this isn't the flu. All right?
So nobody has disease like Sam always has, or norovirus, which we've all discussed.
Yes, in length. No one get the norovirus if it comes around. Not fun.
Anyway, flu season's coming up. Reminder: you get those flu shots. Particularly, you have children, which are the cesspools of the world.
Petri dish. They are the petri dish.
I'm sorry, petri. For lab tech, you have better terminology than I do. Anyway, on tonight's episode, we have Carnival Row, which we teased last week. We're going to review a few episodes of that one. Then we also have an update on The Terror, because we haven't talked about it in 3 weeks. That was the plan, is to kind of discuss it after a few episodes get digested. I think it's just me and Sean.
Yep.
And then I'm not laughing at this, but Midsommar, John Washington, he's going to give a quick take on that one. I watched a little bit of The Wu-Tang, an American saga show, the new Hulu streaming show. And then there is a telephone application called, what is it called?
The Jeremy Renner app.
And I don't know why this was brought up via text message among the group chain, but...
But I'm glad it was.
John.
We have to talk about it. John, it's just, you know, we'll get to that. It, but, you know, we can't escape it.
John's going to lead that one. But first, we're going to talk Terror.
Yes.
Infamy,
speaking of stalking.
Season 2.
So, to start this off, I gave you that review a week or two ago where I said, you know, what was promised was this kind of spooky, haunting thing. And what was delivered was basically that. Like, I felt like it was what was promised.
And I'm in agreement. Hasn't changed.
Thank you.
It's still the same thing. I think this season is a lot more on point with what I was expecting than with the first season. It does shock me that the first season on IMDb was rated higher than this season.
I agree.
It shocks me a lot.
I don't get it.
But the thing with this season is they promised the creepy hauntings. And we're getting it.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely getting it. And the chick still freaks me out.
Yeah.
Not really a spoiler, but the chick is the haunt.
Yeah.
And they have a Japanese word for it. I
forget what it is. But yeah, either way. Moving on. Yeah, so she's just like a vengeful spirit from the homeland that followed these people to the new world and is trying to get something or someone. You kind of figure out what it is at the end of the third episode, what this creature wants.
Yeah.
But
it's there's something with the history of it with the fathers,
yeah,
the father figures in the show that she's haunting them for a specific reason, and I think at some point we're gonna get filled in, over time as to why she's actually haunting them, and what she wants.
Yeah,
and that would factor into what she wants. It's still unclear to me. I can guess, but I really don't know. Yeah, I've only seen three.
I'm at three, so I missed this week's episode. So I got to go back and watch it. But it's really creepy, especially the end of the first episode, where you see her putting the makeup on, and like her skin starts to peel.
Yeah,
and she starts sewing it back on. Oh man, that's so creepy.
It's they have this good. I think this could be a directorial thing where they have this good. It's not, you know how Jaws had the music, you heard the music, and then the shark came. They have this good thing where there's like wind, or
a sound,
there's a lead up to the thing. But there's also one point in the third episode where a guy was you saw its feet walking, but it was all twisted and like ankles were breaking and
like
stuff.
The cracking of bones, like that's how you know that they're like possessed now, kind of thing.
But they do it every single time. There's like there's an indicator
that
that she is there or there is a haunting there, and it's kind of good. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah,
it's a little creepy.
The bone breaking sounds is like
that
unnerving.
First that first scene in the show when she
which
sticks
Sam you
the
watched
thing
the first
the
episode right yeah so. You haven't continued?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we spoil a little bit?
Go ahead.
All right. So as I explained with Sam on the podcast, they bring up the whole the woman being pregnant thing. And I said, don't worry. It comes back like there's a reason for it. And it's a big reason. So the woman ends up at the internment camps because anybody who is even pregnant with a Japanese child is put into the camps. So she ends up not going with the abortion. She keeps the child. Mm. She goes with the boyfriend, whatever his name is, to the internment camps.
Chester,
that's it. It's been like 2 weeks since I've seen the show. I don't remember a lot of the names. But yeah, so she's there now. And there's one point where, so she goes to a doctor because she fell. And the doctor's like, baby's fine. She's like, no, I want like the full thing. Like, make sure. He's like, fine. Does it and goes, yeah, baby's fine. And then she starts bleeding again. And she's like, I need to go. I heard there's like a midwife somewhere on the camp. And they're like, oh, yeah, oh, she's over here. So she goes to the midwife. And you see the midwife like dealing with her, speaking in Japanese and stuff.
Singing
lullabies and stuff. And it's all shot from behind. And I mean, you know it's coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like it spins around and it's the creature, like the woman, is the midwife dealing with the child. So that's when you know she's there for the child. She wants that baby. So because the whole time they're like, no one knows why she's here. Why? What is she after? Now you know she's after the baby.
Yeah.
So
it's sort of like a revenge
something
desire
like that
type thing. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
It's kept my interest longer than the first season.
It definitely has. And the fact that you actually see the haunt.
Yeah.
Compared to the polar bear. Well,
you, quote, see it because there's something under that skin, and I have a feeling we're going to see it eventually.
True.
Because I know the fourth episode, there's like all the, I don't know if you saw the preview for it.
I didn't see a preview for it, no.
It's like a bunch of the kabuki masks and stuff like that, so it's really fucking creepy.
Oh, so they do bring in the mask? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down for this one.
Yeah.
I don't know why, well, I mean, I know the changes. They brought on a whole bunch of different writers.
Yep.
And I'm sure they brought on a whole bunch of different directors, and you know, this is it doesn't bother me. It still makes me question why the first season was
highly reviewed.
Yeah.
And even the reviews like on like IMDb and whatnot, they're like not as good as the first season. And I have no idea what people watched in the first season. I don't get it.
Yeah.
People like ice.
I guess
it's just consistent. People, it was consistent ratings of 8 or higher.
Yeah.
And
this one's like 7 or higher.
Yeah. And I finished the whole first season. There's no way every episode was 8 or higher.
You could only take so much of people complaining about ice and cold.
Yeah.
And the British politics.
Not to mention it's the British faces are all the same.
Yes.
They looked all the same. Everybody's bearded and wearing hats.
Whoa, buddy.
Chris just dropped that.
Wow.
All British people look the same. My God.
Well, it's. I think it could have been the way it was either written or something, but you're looking at it, it's like, yeah, wait, have I seen him before? And it's 8 episodes in, you're like, I should know if I've seen
like
him before.
The character development outside of like 2 or 3 of the main characters, who one of them dies in the third episode. Like outside of that, like they really don't establish too many people, and they all kind of look the same.
Right. Yeah.
At least with this one, you know who's there, like who the core group is.
Yeah, yeah, and it's I'm not as bored with this.
No, I'm
season.
I like it.
I find it interesting.
I even watch it with the ads. Like I'm fine with that.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I watch it via on demand.
Yeah, on demand is how I watch it. So, I mean, it's...
Ads don't bother me at all with this thing. No. It gives you a minute to...
To digest
to
what
take a
you
break.
Just watched.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm in. I'm down for this. I recommend this to anybody who's into the horror.
It's like the Rogan one?
Yeah. I think it's the interview. It's like this guy, he's a widow. And so he and his friend, they put together like a casting call interview thing to find his like next girlfriend or whatever. And they come across this like normal girl, and she seems normal at first till she brings a bag around. And I will leave it with that. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it. What's up, John?
I feel like knowing the culture,
yeah.
And I feel like I know where this is going.
Yeah, so stuff happens.
Anyway, 10 seasons, 10 episodes, 10 episodes for this season as well. So it's 10 and 10.
Right.
And, you know, so far, so good. So far, I'm okay with it.
It's not dragging, which is nice. A lot of, like, the character development is, like, pacing-wise is okay. I'm okay with it. Because there's a lot that you have to understand, because this is like they're dealing with old culture and they're dealing with like actual historical stuff going on. So there's a lot going on in the show, but I think the pacing is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to sound like kind of a dumb question, because I understand it's like a completely different season.
Mm-hmm.
But does it feel like a totally different show?
Yes.
Or does it really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say, if anything, they use the same equipment and quite possibly the same sound stages.
Yeah, but...
But that's,
well,
that's
I, about I would,
it.
I mean,
yeah, but that's like, about but like it. Look at how the first one was made and how it was like a bunch of flashbacks to like England, and like that's how they did their backstory and whatnot. And then look how they do the backstory in this one. It's completely different.
Yeah, through dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's an entirely different show.
Yeah.
I like to see, like, just if they have, like, spare ice lying around this season, just from the last season, and they're like, we just have to use this to get rid of it.
There was an episode in North Dakota where he had to go ice fishing, so there you go.
That's where they use all the spare ice.
Yeah. And, like, they corner a guy who ends up being a spy for the U.S. government on the ice. They, like, crack the ice underneath him, and, like, you don't see him fall in, but they leave him alone on the ice after finding out he was a spy.
Wait, yeah. What season is that? This is in the second season?
Yeah, so yeah. This is Terror Season 2. So this is the Japanese internment camps.
So there's that much ice in this season?
There's not
in North Dakota, yeah.
North Dakota in the middle of the winter, yes, there's plenty of ice.
Wow. Stunning.
But I don't think the internment camp is in North Dakota.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But he came back. So that's one of the big things. Yeah, so I'm continuing with this season. It's piqued my interest.
Same here. Hasn't lost me at all.
So, all right.
So, moving on.
Yep.
So, John, why don't you set the premise? What is the Jeremy Renner app? Because I have no idea what this is.
Okay. All right. We'll go into that. I was saying maybe there's other natural segues, but no, we can do that. All right. So the Jeremy Renner app.
You point me another segue to the Jeremy Renner app.
Yeah, I don't think you can segue.
I'll give you a week to come up with a segue to that.
So going from true horror to true horror. All right. So listen, this is just what the Jeremy Renner app is. Jeremy Renner, who we know as Hawkeye and various other roles. And from the Jeep commercials.
Yeah. He's in one of the
And
Bourne
he also
movies.
Has his own, like, Amazon store where there's this
oh,
whole,
yeah,
like,
that's right.
Yeah, there's this whole, like, pictorial of him with a bunch of, like, very, like, out of context, very funny-looking pictures. I would highly recommend checking it out. Jeremy Renner, listen, I love him as an actor. Like, he's very close to, like, I guess, movie star level to me, where, like, I will give a movie a shot if he's in it kind of thing.
Okay.
Wind River.
Not like, 100%, but, like, usually, yeah. You know?
If he's attached, you know it's probably going to be at least decent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now and recently going forward. You know, 5 years ago, maybe not so much. Yeah. With what was the Rumpelstiltskin. What was the one where he was, like... Hansel and Gretel Vampire Hunter.
Oh, yeah. That was a great movie.
Anyway, so Jeremy Renner, in an attempt to reach out to his fans more, decided to not, you know, use the current infrastructure of social networking like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or anything else.
Pinterest.
Decided to make his own social network about Jeremy Renner. that you can go on and share and see Jeremy Renner post pics, and it looks like exactly like Instagram, pretty much.
You can talk with other Jeremy Renner fans.
Renner heads, I believe.
Yeah, Renner heads.
You can post your own pics.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's free. So it's free.
Yeah, it's total. Well, it's free, but I think you can buy, like, microtransactions.
Yes, so like, it's, if it was, like, starting at, like, $5, you could buy stars. And so starting at, like, $5, going all the way up to $100, you can buy stars and spend stars in order to get Jeremy Renner's attention and basically bump yourself up to the top of the feed so he can see you sooner.
Oh, that's what the stars are?
That's okay. What the stars are.
Okay, that's very interesting. So I have to buy Daddy's Love.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole app, you know. Okay, so the premise, first of all, is like pretty nutso. Like, let's start there.
Like, to start with the fact that Jeremy Renner thinks he's got a giant fan base.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like, listen, this would be something that'd be weird if Beyonce did it. It's like even weirder when it's Renner. You know?
Yeah, like Beyonce could pull it off, but it'd be still be like, what are you doing?
Let's go down to Robert Downey Jr. does this. It's like, yeah, you know, that's something Robert Downey Jr. would do. There's a lot of Iron Man fans out there.
But at the same time, you'd be like,
that's kind of weird, but like, you know, he's going to have fun with it.
Do you live in your own ass, Joe?
Yeah.
Right.
But with Renner, it's just, he was Hawkeye.
So, I mean, okay, so even getting past all that, what happened with the app is that there was probably a sliver of people who were taking it totally like serious at face value, but like the vast majority of users, at least what I've seen of like people posting, are just people like just trolling and shit.
Oh yeah.
And like part of it too is that there was ways, or so obviously it's like, you know, post a photo, leave some comments, right? Like just the basic, you know, Instagram kind of thing. And what people were doing were like making spoof accounts that looked exactly like Jeremy Renner's account. So like there would be all these fake Jeremy Renners like commenting on shit. And it's just, I mean, it's something to sort of see and behold on its own. But late breaking news tonight. Yeah. He's winding down the app because
he's canceling
too much of a shit show. Even using very interesting, I mean, he left this like giant like papyrus font like letter, and it's probably the sort of thing you really just have to experience.
Chris, here's a picture of it.
You know,
just goodbye. Oh wait, hold on. Wait, I missed it.
Oh yeah, no, he's getting lost in the app.
I'm getting lost in the app. Why is there music?
Because okay, Jeremy Renner has a band.
Oh right, there is music. Yeah, so you can go on, you can listen to Jeremy Renner tracks.
Hold on, okay.
And it's not like it's not like post music. It's like
like 30-second snips.
That's what he calls about due to clever individuals that were able to manipulate ways to impersonate me.
Oh man. Like John, you messaged me this morning, or not this morning, but like a couple days ago, you messaged all of us about the app, and like I took it as like a joke, because like when I heard that Jeremy Renner was doing an app, I was like, Jeremy Renner has a sense of humor.
This is great.
So that was my thought process with the Jeremy Renner.
I don't know if Jeremy Renner really has a sense of humor.
Well, then this morning I was listening to Sports Talk and they were actually talking about the Jeremy Renner app. And that's when I got the whole input on what the stars are and how he's got this whole music career that he's trying to take off. They even played some music from it. And I'm like, you know, Jeremy Renner, the person, like before knowing what the Jeremy Renner app was, I was like, you know, he was an okay guy. Like, he was Hawkeye. He did pretty good.
Apparently, he's not as nice in person.
Apparently, he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's what I take out of all this. Like, I didn't really have an opinion about this guy until I learned about the app and, like, dove into the app a little bit, listened to a little bit of his music, and was like, wow, this guy is so far up his own ass. It's amazing. Like, and like, I would have never have thought, like, I thought like, cause I mean, like you said, John, like the movies he does at least past 5 years, they've been halfway decent. Like Chris, you brought up Wind River, great movie. You know,
the, oh, do you want to know some
Hurt
movies?
Locker.
So yeah, no, you look yes. at it.
Fantastic
Hurt Locker.
In
the town.
Tag.
Even Mission Impossible.
Yeah. The
he's in Arrival.
He was in American Hustle.
Good in Arrival. Yeah.
He's been in some good movies. So it's like, I guess fame is going to his head, I guess. No one's telling him no.
He might have been that way the whole time.
Maybe.
On a bigger scale, though.
It's just like that, like, because I literally thought this was like him being funny. Like, let me put out a Jeremy Renner app where it's just pictures of Jeremy Renner. And it's just something stupid.
This is the thing. Like, who would do that? Like, right. Seth Rogen or like...
Right, right. Like, it's a joke. Like, that's what right. I thought it was when you first brought it up. I was like, oh, this is just stupid. Like, it's just a funny thing. Like, somebody just, like, doing it as a joke. No, this is serious. Like, he seriously did this to promote his music and, I guess, his lifestyle?
As a matter of perspective, Jeremy Renner on Instagram has 14 million followers.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., just for perspective, 43 million.
Yeah. Like, he's not even close to being the most famous Avenger.
Well,
which is probably his most successful movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes.
Have you seen
but
Tag?
That's not fair.
I know it's not fair,
he's
but
he's like the
I mean,
20th guy in the Avengers. Like, it's not, you know.
I'm not gonna lie. Like,
he's
this
clearly
kinda,
8 or 9.
For me, this kind of hurts the Hawkeye TV show. For me personally,
no way.
For me personally, like, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to support this kind of behavior, kind of thing. Like,
okay, he's like not like raping anybody.
No,
all
I know
right.
that, but like
this is going to be the standard. You're not like big enough to create your own tequila or vodka, like The Rock. You're just below that where you have to create your own app. You're not right. associated with like a vodka or anything.
It is hilarious though how like everybody after they saw like Clooney sold like that, Casamigos or whatever. Like a shit ton of money. Everybody like has their own tequila and or other spirit now.
Yeah.
If I was not a publisher, but like an agent for Scarlett Johansson, I'd have her sign with a Russian vodka company.
Okay.
Or international vodka company.
Okay.
Well, yeah, like she should like pitch me
Romanoff.
I guess.
I mean, work that angle, you know?
I guess. Okay. I see it. Well, I know Hugh Jackman has a coffee that goes to some kind of charity.
God, I'd just love to hang out with him for a day.
Jackman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
So here is the craziest part of the Renner app, which I literally just learned about tonight. Not only has there one been a Jeremy Renner app before, but it also was closed down for the same exact reason, like 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, it's very much like a Matrix moment where, like, he's talking to the architect and realizing that it's already been another Neo. I just found that incredible. Like, he's done this twice now, and they both, like, have gone, you know, tits up, so.
Oh, my God.
Well.
It's just... We're not supporters of the Jeremy Renner app.
I mean, three of us have... John, did you download the app?
Oh, shit, yeah, dude.
Yeah, so three of us have downloaded
the app. You guys all downloaded the Renner app?
Well, I uninstalled it very quickly, but...
I was just curious.
Listen, some dreams just weren't meant for this world.
I wonder why he wasn't sleeping. He was doing stuff with the Renner app.
Sam, if there's anything you need to do, listen to his music. It's so bad. It's like it's like country rock, but like not good country rock. It's like terribly auto-tuned country rock.
weird thing. Weird note. Yep. Speaking of country and actors doing country, Kiefer Sutherland. It's apparently a country music singer, he's relatively big. I had no idea until a couple months ago.
Yeah. Oh no. Maybe I was thinking Hugh Laurie's been into.
No, I just heard Kiefer as well because apparently he's coming up to the New England. Northeast for those who don't know.
Yeah, I think Hugh Laurie is. Blues? Yeah, I think he's a blues.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Renner, as much as we make fun of the music, it's not like he's the first vanity, like, non-rock star who thinks he's a rock star.
John, just side note, speaking of Hugh Laurie, did you see the Night Watchman? Did anybody see
you mean the Night Manager?
Night Manager, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, are we getting a second season of that? Because that was a fucking great show.
Did you? Oh, so you've watched it?
Oh yeah, me and Christina loved it.
Yeah, it's a good miniseries if you like spy stuff. I mean, it's John Le Carre, so you know he's usually pretty good.
You don't recall getting a second?
I mean, didn't
I don't think he'll have time to do it, but
yeah, but like, didn't that a show come season? Out like 3 years ago?
Yeah, but they were.
I don't think they're gonna have a second season.
No, well, they came out. So if you want to check out another one, and I don't know where this is, this might be only on the AMC app because I was looking yesterday. But there was it's called Little Drummer Girl, which is also a John Le Carre thing, and it's got the other Skarsgård in it. Although that was off podcast, so I should just say that has oh crap,
what not Bill,
it's one of 13.
No, the not Stellan Skarsgård, the other one,
Alexander.
Yes, Alexander Skarsgård.
Was Alex the one from Mute?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That one. And Tarzan. He likes to play.
And Battleship.
That's the thing. Every time I think of him, I think of Battleship.
He was also in the vampire show.
True Blood.
Bonton. True Blood. Yeah.
Oh, that one. But he will always be from Battleship.
Yeah. It's shocking how that sticks with you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that movie just never goes away.
Phenomenal movie.
Need to anyway, see it. Never sinks.
If you hey, guys, remember when the guy who lost his legs fights the alien?
Again, remember when 12 people restart a battleship from World War II?
And they're all 90 years old.
90-year-old
and
guys.
Half of them are 90. Yeah.
Guys, remember when they drifted a battleship? listeners, if you've never seen Battleship, I highly recommend this movie. Not because it's good, it's because it's so bad, it's amazing.
It really is. And there's also, obviously, they have the moment where they're like, oh, we have no idea where they are. Oh, set up the grid. And then, like, they do, like, a hit and miss thing, like the game Battleship, which is...
Yeah, somewhere. Oh, yeah. You had to, I mean, there is no other way. I give them credit, because there's no other way you could have got the grid in that, you know...
Oh, boy.
It's really, like, the perfect version of, like, a totally shitty action movie.
It really
like
is.
Half-baked, not really thought through.
There's aliens.
Like, you know what's
like
even...
Rihanna's in it. Yeah.
You know what's wicked stupid about like it, too, you know, is that...
Trying to be an actor.
I'll leave it on during the weekends if I'm doing stuff. It's made it to that category of, it's on during the weekends
I'm not
going
to lie.
Stuff.
So, I mean... Like, it came down to, I think it was, like, this past weekend, I think it was, like, Saturday or Sunday, where, like, I was ready for bed, and, like, Deadpool 2 was on, and I was like, oh, this is a funny part, I'll just watch the funny part, and I just ended up finishing the whole thing. I feel like Battleship is, like, the same boat, where it's, like, I don't care where it is, if it's on, and I'm like, oh, Battleship's on, I'll turn it on, and I'll just watch it.
Yeah.
It's, like, I haven't seen it in forever, but it's so stupidly great.
There was another movie I remember that just hit that category last month, and Sam's gonna really laugh at this one. Ready Player One.
You mean Sam's favorite movie of last
There's
year?
There's a massive eye roll coming from Sam. But yeah, that's been relegated to if it's on in the middle of the movie, I'll leave it there.
Other than for Sam, it's a, like kind of a fun movie to watch. It's not a great movie.
Not by any means.
It's an enjoyable movie, though. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Why? Because it's just an enjoyable movie. I'm sorry you don't like...
Wait, wasn't it your favorite movie last year?
No, Sam hated it. Because remember, Sam? Yeah. Sam doesn't like referencing things that happened in the past.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
No.
Every time we something comes up, you're like, I don't like it because it references things.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
My complaint about that movie was it was just like nostalgia bait the entire movie.
And nostalgia is bringing up things from the past, is it not?
No, it's a bit more complicated than that. You're specifically pulling on people's heartstrings with nostalgia.
Yeah. Every time nostalgia comes up, you always complain.
No matter
what it is.
Lazy. It's lazy.
All right, well,
it's just remember when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember berries. I had a great segue from Midsommar, but we passed it like 5 minutes ago.
Speaking of lazy.
So, all right, I saw Midsommar, which is a horror movie. I would definitely call it a horror. Well, hang on. Let me just back up for a second. Horror expert Sean, and I guess Chris.
Yes.
And Sam, you know, Sam gets dragged along into enough of them. I guess he counts too.
Really, I'm not, but...
I remember having a conversation where you were saying, a horror movie is only a horror movie if there's, like, a supernatural element to it.
I've never said that.
Not me either.
Oh, really?
No, I would not... I would never say that.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have said that.
Okay.
No, only because we know it's a subgenre. It's not really.
Because I guess... All right. Maybe this is something else.
Yeah, because, I mean, there can be, like, a political movie that's kind of... Like, The Manchurian Candidate.
I wouldn't exactly call that a horror movie. But it's...
I mean,
it's
the original...
thriller.
The original was, like, a thriller. I mean, for back then, though, that was kind of a horror.
No, I wouldn't exactly say that was a
horror. Name a horror movie from back then that's not Invasion of the Body Snatchers and isn't a B-movie, which, according to Chris, means it was never in theaters, even though all of them were.
Man, you didn't get a lot of, like, good horror.
In what, the 80s?
No, like 60s, 50s.
Oh. Sorry, which invasion are you talking about?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
No, but like just none of them really survived. Like they made scary movies, but they weren't like...
That one's from the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The good one.
No, not even close.
Oh, God, I loved the Don Sutherland one compared to the original.
The original is phenomenal.
What is wrong with you?
I loved the Don Sutherland one for some reason. I don't know why. That was great. I think that was probably the best scene I've ever seen in a movie.
At least you don't like the Daniel Craig, Nicole Kidman one.
No, I sat through that whole thing and it sucked.
I've never seen it, but...
Anyway, so speaking of Supernatural...
Midsommar is a 2019 movie directed... Oh, shit, I forget the guy's name. I'll pull it up in a little bit.
This is his second movie.
Yeah, Hereditary was the first one. I think it's Ari Aster, I think it is. Anyway, so this is about... Essentially, a group of young people who are, you know, a little college age, maybe a little past that, who venture to Sweden. I think it's Sweden. Maybe it's Norway. No, I think it's Sweden. Scandinavia. Mm-hmm. To go with a friend to his village commune, sort of, where he grew up, to enjoy this midsummer festival, you know, in a tradition of, like, you know... Like, I think it's kind of common, like, you know, ringing around the maypole, that sort of shit. Like, you know, hey, spring's here kind of thing. All
right.
Anyway, I thought this was really good. Like, I'm not a big horror movie guy at all, but there's just, like, incredible tension throughout. And listen, I'm not going to spoil this movie, but, like, I could tell you the plot and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the plot of that movie. Because you've seen this movie before. And, you know, it's almost the same as, what was the other one where the guy goes to the island with the cult that we were watching last year?
Apostle,
yeah. Like, it's like 90% the same movie. But this is actually good. And it looks incredible. And I'm not giving anything away either. Because, like, I think to some extent, like, you really can't spoil horror movies. Like, maybe if it's overly reliant on a twist, you can.
Yeah.
But, like, you really, if it's done well, and this one definitely is, like I said, it's just beautiful to watch. There's an incredible soundtrack that just really builds the tension throughout. And pretty good acting, too. It was the first movie I ever saw where our buddy Rob, who's an inspiring actor, it was the first time I was like, hey, he could be in this movie. But I really liked it. I tough to really discuss without getting too heavy into spoilers. There's a lot of like drug use. It's kind of like it's a bit of a trippy kind of movie. So if you know, you can indulge a little bit, it might actually add to the experience. But I'm sure seeing it flat, you know, you're good either way.
Is this streaming?
No,
it's not. It's still. So it was in theaters over the summer. There was a special, and I wanted to see it. I just didn't have the time to, or, you know, just kind of wasn't able to sync it up. But they re-released it as a director's cut, which is what I saw, which it was like an additional 10 minutes. And listen, like, you know, I think it's maybe 220 without the director's cut, and mine was like 230 or something like that. Like, it does, it's not like it feels like it's over in like 10 minutes, but you know, you're never, you don't feel like you're wasting your time or just like sitting around. Like if I had to describe it, it's a lot like if you swoosh together like the first segment of 2001 A Space Odyssey and the last one and combined it. That's pretty much what this movie kind of feels like. Anyway,
all right.
I give it a 9.0.
Wow.
Second highest movie of the year for John.
Yeah, this is a good one, and like I said, it's not like the story's nothing crazy, like it's just done at like a high level mm-hmm. that I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
And it's definitely one of those you got to be a little bit in the mood for. Like it gets very weird. Not super weird, but weird, I'll say. Okay. And it's, you know, but I really enjoyed it, and it's one of those movies too where I didn't think it'd be this, but I, you know, when you kind of like keep thinking about it like days after, like, you know, it's like it's a good movie. So
yeah.
So the one thing I did kind of want to bring up though was like I sort of came to the realization, and maybe I'm just weirdly behind, but like there's really only like two kinds of horror movies, right? There's the like people go into a strange situation that like, you know, a new land or whatever, and they're around new people.
Yeah, like a new land or a new house even.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's either like somebody goes somewhere they don't know, or somebody, or like a stranger comes into their life. Like those are the two horror movies, right?
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. Like boiling it down to basics, yeah.
Very basic, but yes. I can see that. Right. Yeah.
Well, this one's more of the former, obviously.
Right.
Well, you have the sci-fi horror too, but I think
yeah, but that would be
a separate.
That would be like John said, a foreign person you comes to what they're familiar.
You'd
so
still
like,
have the same like,
alien invasion kind
of
thing.
Oh, I guess you're really boiling it down.
Yeah, that's why I said to boil it down to very basic.
We're talking very basic story structure.
Yeah.
Ah, so moving on. I'm assuming
we're all anything else, John?
No, but I would. I'm sure it will be on like Amazon or something at some point. Probably. Yeah,
I feel like I'll watch this eventually.
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, definitely it's like a. I think the experience of seeing it in a theater was really good for me. Not only because there was just really good visuals on screen,
mm-hmm.
but just like giving your like full attention to something and not being tempted to like look at your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like really helps in a movie like this that, you know, I wouldn't say it's ever really slow, but it definitely takes its time in some circumstances, mm-hmm. you know? So, all
right.
Some situations. So,
all right. Well, moving on to Hulu, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was stuck in a horror thing. Yeah. Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang, kill the beast. So the new Wu-Tang show came out. Wu-Tang, an American saga, I believe it's called, or tale? No, American saga. Definitely American saga. Yep, American saga.
American tale.
Anyway,
Wu-Tang goes west.
First three episodes dropped on Hulu yesterday. Yesterday? Today.
Today, yeah.
Today, Wednesday. And I watched one and a half so far.
Jeez.
And I think I'm the only one interested in this, number one.
Yes,
probably.
It's a docudrama about the East Coast rap band from the early 1990s that formed up a little bit after NWA, if I got my dates correct. So it is very much in the vein of what was the movie? What the hell is the movie? Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, very much in that vein, except obviously extended over 8 episode or 10 episode. Honestly, I don't know how many episodes length on Hulu. So far, 3 episodes. It's very much backstory and giving you a view into the life of the. We've only seen pretty much a few group members. I need to clarify. So you only see a little bit of a view in their life, and it primarily follows RZA, aka Bobby, on the show and his life, and it. He's pretty much the guy who's starting to form the group, or at least it's from his perspective. And so far, it's a lot of drugs, It's a lot of gang violence, a lot of gang-related things. Not violence, but gang-related things. And 1.5 in, I'm really hoping they start to switch to the music scene right now. Because I'm watching it for the music. I really don't care. I do understand why they're building up the backstory and giving you insight into the lives and everything. And there's a reason why they're considered one of the greatest bands, hip-hop bands of all time. So, you know, I get why they're doing this, but I really want to get to the music. And hopefully they get there soon. Because it's not losing me at all by any means. I'll definitely continue until the end just because I like their music. But I kind of want them to get into the... start of forming the group, getting the other people involved. We just saw Method Man, and I just saw Method Man get involved with some songs. So I want to get there, and it's taking its time, but I understand why they're doing it, but I'll still keep going. Right now, I recommend it for only people who are interested in Wu-Tang Clan. The show itself, I think, is beautifully filmed. I don't know why. I don't know how. Right now, it's working for me. I think it's very, very well done with the cinematography and everything. So, if it was bad, I'd probably stop watching it. But this is so far so good for me. But get to the music. I want to get to the music and the formulation of the band.
I guess a lot group. Like the reviews are saying the pacing. It's taking forever.
I think it's all backstory for now. Only because I think they're trying to build up the story, because a lot of their lyrics are based off of certain things that happen.
Right.
As with every musician or hip hop artist, it's life experience is built, you know, really demonstrates in their, or is demonstrated throughout their lyrics and their music. Yeah. So you're right, and I can agree with that. Pacing is a little slow, but hopefully we get there.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get there. Again, like I said, it's very much in the vein of Straight Outta Compton. It's just really drawn that out.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm still with it. Hulu, so far so good. I mean,
so is it? This is every week a new episode drops.
First three came out
right. They
today,
dropped the first three,
and then I think you're right. I think every week a few will come out.
I think
out.
That's how they introduced the Runaways, was the same way, where it's like they introduced them 1 week at a time.
Was it
season two? It was all at once.
Yeah, I was gonna say season two was should have been all at once, right?
Yeah. But season one was one at a time, which, I mean, for Hulu, I don't mind. I know Handmaid's Tale is like that. They still do one at a time.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
And you know what? I still don't mind one a week.
Yeah.
I'm not a binger anymore.
With this,
anymore.
Where it's easy, where it's all in one place, it's fine. It's just, if it's on TV, cable TV... Because there's so many different channels. Like, the fact that it's, like, in this one source, and you know you can find it, and it's available anytime. You know, oh, it's going to drop Wednesdays. Well, anytime Wednesday through Tuesday, you can watch it. You know where to find it. So it's kind of convenient.
Yeah.
So.
I could see that. I don't know. I have a bunch of stuff DVR'd on TV, and for some reason, DVR is not a priority to me.
No.
Comparatively to the Hulus and the Primes and Netflix.
Well, it's easier to get to Hulu. It's easier to, like, to find.
Well,
what
on
you
your
want.
Phone or on your tablet or something. Yeah. And
it's easier to get to.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I recommend it.
All right.
For those who are interested. I think Ryan might be interested in that, actually. So, I'm surprised I haven't gotten a text from him already. Anyway. Moving on, last topic.
Last, the meat and potatoes.
Wait, hold on. What? Does Cash rule everything around me?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Does Cash rule everything around me?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, cool.
Moving on.
Okay. What's your guys' favorite Wu-Tang song?
I have no idea.
I couldn't name one.
I can't name one, but I've heard multiple songs by them. I do listen to them at work from time to time. There was one, somebody did a mashup. I don't know what the Wu-Tang Clan song was, but they mashed that up with the Justice Friends. So each one of the Justice Friends actually sings one of the each person's part of the song, and it's matched up perfectly. It looks great. So I don't know what to search for, but my coworker has shown me that on like multiple occasions, and yeah, it's pretty good. So
cool.
Yeah. Moving on.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the proper name of the song.
Oh God.
It'll take me a minute. We're just gonna.
Yeah, just move on.
I'll give it to you later.
Okay.
A lot of the songs I don't know the names of. I will say that.
I can hear the song and I don't know what the name of it is. Hell, I don't even know the lyrics. Because there's so many people talking at different times.
Yeah, it's a good amount.
So, I mean, and it's all different styles of rap. So, I mean, like, each one is a different style. So, I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, moving on for the fourth time.
Now we can move on. meat potatoes are the issue tonight.
Yes, yes. Carnival Row.
Carnival Row.
Yes, speaking of pacing. Carnival Row. So it's a show on Amazon, all dropped at once. Was it last weekend? This past weekend. John mentioned he was going to watch it, and then...
I mentioned it.
You mentioned it a while ago. John said this weekend he was going to watch it, so that's why I ended up watching it. And John ended up not watching it.
Glad to know I have so much weight.
I definitely did not say I was going to watch
it. I thought it was your text. Chris, was it your text?
It was definitely mine.
What? You're looking at me weird. Anyway.
No, sorry. I've never been on this side of the argument about someone not watching a show.
I know. It feels weird, doesn't it?
Because I actually watched 3 1/4.
Yes. Mark it down on your calendar. Sam watched another show. So it stars everyone's favorite pirate, Orlando Bloom, and everyone's favorite actor from Valerian, Cara Delevingne.
It's a very short list.
Which wouldn't turn most people... It doesn't turn people off. Like, there are actors and actresses that turn people
Orlando
off.
Orlando Bloom is usually one that turns me off.
I don't think it's that.
I mean, outside of Lord of the Rings and, like, the first Pirates of the Caribbean, what good things has he done? He came back in The Hobbit for 2 very bad roles.
Orlando Bloom?
Yeah,
Didn't he do that In Time movie?
No, that was... The In Time, which was Justin Timberlake.
He looked good on that wakeboard.
Jesus, Sam. Of course you do.
Oh, God.
Just saying.
But like,
he's like, too bad Orlando Bloom doesn't have his app.
Anyway,
Jared Harris is in this.
Yes.
Big name.
I was in The Terror Season 1. This show also has a Torchwood alum, just like Terror Season 2. So
what's the show about? I don't care who's in it.
It's basically like a fictitious...
It's a fantasy.
1800s London-ish? Maybe like pre-1800s?
It's like Victoria...
It's like Victorian age.
Victorian London. It's a fantasy world.
But it's not London. But it is London, London.
It's totally London.
I know.
They call it the Burgs, but it's totally London.
But there's fantasy characters there, like centaurs and those people with horns that start at their eyes.
There was this war on this other continent that was totally not World War I, against this group called The Pact.
Yep.
Who are just totally evils, guys. Just totes evils.
Versus the Berg.
Yeah.
By the way.
The Pact versus the Berg.
And
the fairy tale creatures got caught in the middle.
Yeah, well,
they sided with whoever.
Yeah, I know, but they were
they got caught in the middle, and now they're all running to the Berg.
Yeah, they're refugees.
The Berg fleed the war. They left the war. They lost the war. Yeah, it very much Vietnam, United States, but
they lost the war. you can say it. You're allowed to say lost.
It was a tie.
This isn't Korea, Sam.
It's after that, though, but it's about this story about this cop, Orlando Bloom, who is a detective, inspector, hence the Victorian age, but inspector who tries to solve a murder, and that's how it all starts off.
Yeah.
There's a murder that happens in Carnival Row. It's a section where fae
it's somebody has been killing.
Well, it actually
pixies.
Starts off with our girl, Kara.
Oh, yeah.
Or Vignette.
Vignette.
Is her name, that's which is right. Totally not stupid, and I will totally not be calling her Vinaigrette for the rest of this time. But Vinaigrette is on the run for the Pact on the continent because for some reason, every time we need to establish people are refugees, they have to be running from a genocide. Like, they can't just be being oppressed or, like, you know, just bad conditions down there. No, it has to be a genocide.
I did, like, to really quick, during that scene, I really did like the barbed wire through the trees to preventing the pixies from flying away. That was kind of an interesting touch.
Kind of?
Well, it was interesting because, like, they couldn't fly away because there were all the dead bodies in the
barbed wire. They're also not like flies.
I know, but you couldn't fly through it. That's the point.
You're going to get stuck up there and be like, yeah. Hit me. No.
That's a fly reference. Vincent Price fly, not Jeff Goldblum fly. Anyways.
But she comes up, she gets onto a ship that's ferrying refugees that's making money off of this somehow. And
they sell the slaves as
they
contract.
Sell them as slaves.
They sell them as slaves.
That yeah, it's kind of like
or indentured.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. It's just like servants. I'm just like that doesn't seem like that profitable.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, you're introduced to the person who owns the boat, but like
apparently
we'll get to the most annoying two characters.
If you paid attention, apparently it was pretty profitable.
Yeah,
apparently it was because a cop could not afford how much it cost to do that, so it was a little profitable.
The show is telling us it's profitable. I'm just doing the math in my head and being like, doesn't seem like it is. So her ship crashes and she somehow survives.
She's the only one for some reason.
Reasons. I don't even know why the crash had to happen.
Yeah, like
they avoided the pact who were attacking boats, right. But in doing so, they had to sail through rough seas, and then there was a storm.
Yeah, I get that. Why was she the only one that survived?
Yeah, agreed. Why was she the only one? I have no idea.
I get that, Chris. What I'm
saying is... Well, because magic, okay?
What I'm saying is, the power I don't understand why narratively that happened.
No, you haven't even gotten to the magic yet, John.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to Cthulhu yet.
Cthulhu.
Because Cthulhu's in this show.
Yeah, supposedly. Possibly.
I guess, by the way, just, you know, spoilers for the first couple episodes.
Sure. I guess.
He's
sure.
At the end of
I'm
the first episode.
I'm not rehashing all these episodes.
No, but,
no way.
Like, so, to sum this all up really quickly, a lot of reviews, and I completely agree, is there's a lot going on in this show, but none of it is really fleshed out very well.
Yeah, and also,
it's not... In its defense, it's really not that complicated.
No, it's not, but there's a lot that goes nowhere. That's the problem with this show. Like, so, like,
I have to ask references because there are stories in the future episodes which you guys have not seen yet that some of the stuff from 1, 2, and 3 will come back
to. But, like, I mean, there's... So, you have the most annoying characters, the brother and sister.
Oh, God. Like, why are they in the show?
Yeah.
Other than to be like, see, racism.
Exactly. They're good people. They took care of that lady. Gave her a roof over her head and a full belly. That's all she ever asked for.
And for some reason, he tries to rape her.
Yeah, and then...
Because that happens.
There are, over the course of five episodes, there's
at
maybe
least one sex scene every
story
episode.
Arcs.
But there's at least one sex scene every episode.
I can point to you seven HBO shows right now that have one sex scene per show.
Chernobyl didn't.
I can point you to seven other shows.
No, but I know, but
it's you're really harping on one thing. It's really not a big deal.
No, I'm not really harping on anything. I'm just saying, like, there's literally like a sex scene in every episode. That's just like one of the things. They're like, see, nudity.
I really don't think that's a problem.
See, it's a mature show.
They're really trying to be Game of Thrones.
Yes.
But
everybody keeps throwing that out. Why?
Why?
Well, no. Not why. Example.
Example?
Don't say the sex scene because I can point you to the shows. I can point you to The Wire, which was on before HBO, which had sex scenes every episode.
But Game of Thrones is known for being a lot of sex and a fantasy show.
As is every HBO show.
The fantasy element.
Fantasy.
So fantasy, every fantasy is HBO now? Or Game of Thrones now?
No, but no.
This is the thing that bothered me the most, because everybody's comparing this to Game of Thrones, saying it's the next Game of Thrones, when in reality, it's absolutely not even close.
I'm not saying it's the next Game of Thrones. I'm saying it's trying to be.
Yeah, this is literally the problem with a successful anything. is there's always trying to be the next of this.
The next with success video game, is what you're
saying.
With
video games, everything was after 2000, everything was trying to be the next Halo killer. Like, this is going to be the game that everyone's going to move away from Halo and start playing this one. Like, that happened.
You're saying that as a viewership level, not as an actual show.
No, well, yes and no. Like, you're taking elements. So everybody,
as every fantasy show.
How many fantasy shows can you name?
Game of Thrones.
There's so many.
I don't know if he said that.
Yeah,
sarcastically.
I know. But like right now, like mature fantasy shows. Outside of Game of Thrones, obviously.
Two are on Prime right now. Good Omens and then this thing. Carnival Row.
Then we've got His Dark Materials coming.
Coming.
Fucking, like, listen, we're up our ass with fantasy shows and people speaking in British accents.
And where do you think this all started from?
Vikings, like, you know.
What started all of this, though?
Game of Thrones.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, but you're... I know, but you're trying to say it's the next. Everybody's saying it's the next Game of Thrones, but it's not like they're trying to fill the void of Game of Thrones.
But yes, they are. Yes, they most definitely are, because
not,
Game of Thrones
is a big audience. Game of Thrones had, what, 15 million viewers per episode, that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to get. They're trying to get a piece of that. Yeah, they're trying to get it, but they're not. But it's not to the to the point of they're taking all of the stuff that Game of Thrones had, which is, you know, people fighting against wars against other houses and things like this.
Because that's not happening.
It's all the other... It really hasn't.
There's literally two things at war with each other.
There's two countries fighting at each other. Two countries, and that's it. And then
so
somebody's
fought
in the middle.
Two warring nations.
Jesus, Sean.
I mean, listen, the other thing we just watched is exactly like this, too. It's not a TV show, but it's the same thing. Mortal Engines?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's really my critique of this show. Is like, I don't need another one of these goddamn things.
Yeah, okay? it brings nothing new to the table.
No.
It's not, if you're trying to look for that, of course it's not going to deliver it.
What I like about
then
this show...
what am I looking for?
You have to watch it to see what is there.
I've seen
it. It's a little bit different than what they advertise.
Here's the thing. I've watched three episodes. What I like about this show is I do like this kind of world... like appeals to me. I like fantasy. I like, you know, it like kind of crossing over with real world. The problem is the storytelling is just not good because it's all over the place. There's so much happening in every episode.
Nothing's
really fleshed out. Like in the third episode, you find out that fairy, the
spoiler,
fairy whore.
Is this a
pixie.
Spoiler?
Well, yeah.
Big spoiler
of,
right now.
I guess the pixie whore is actually in love with Cara Delevingne, but like it's like one time you ever are introduced to it, and she's like, when I was about to die, all I could think of is coming back to you, and I'm sorry the way things ended. And Cara was like, well, it never ended, I just moved on. It's like, and that's their relationship.
Like, that's what they tried to point out, though. Like, did you really want to see that relationship?
No, but like it was, I don't know. It was just stupid. I hated that. And then, like, okay, so the first episode, Orlando Bloom is doing that girl at the house that he's doing. She's like, what's with these scars? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. I was like, he was a pixie. Like, is it really that big of a spoiler? Like, right there, you're like, the scars look like the places where the wings are.
I didn't see it.
Oh, I did.
Like, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't see it until it actually.
Like, right away, I was like, and then in the third episode, he was like, yeah, so I was abandoned by my parents and they took off my wings so I could, you know, be a part of normal life. And
he's actually a half blood.
Yeah, he's a half blood.
See, I didn't see that. I didn't expect that. That was a bombshell. That was not a bombshell, but it was a little twist I did not expect.
It was like right there, front and center, like the whole time. And the weird thing is, this is a critique. I hate the way he walks in this show. I don't know what it is.
He hunches over
when he walks. Yeah. Like, he puts his head forward and then, like, walks.
He's used to the wings.
That he never had.
I can't.
They clipped his wings.
Yeah, when he was a baby.
I'm not harping on
that. He's gonna fly, man.
I'm not harping on
that. Oh, dude, you know that's gonna happen, right?
He's gonna fly?
He's gonna fly. Somehow he's gonna fly.
Yep.
I don't
know. Is that the first season or like the second season? We'll
see.
They already signed up for a second.
They announced that before the first season even dropped. So just like how we're getting that second Fan Four Stick movie, still waiting for it. I like the world. It's just nothing is explained correctly. I really like the neo-noir part where they're trying to find out like who's killing who. And I understand that you need to kind of establish a backstory between the two main characters. The whole third episode was just kind of stupid. I hated it.
It was all backstory.
Until the end, where they're fighting again.
You're going to get that in every
show. Honestly, so far, the third episode has been probably my
favorite. Is it?
Yeah, same here.
See,
Because whenever we go back to not London...
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh boy, another realistic, gritty fantasy show. Like... Whatever happened to fantasy stories being like whimsical and fantastic?
Sam, next week I will review the Dark Crystal TV show.
Like that doesn't mean that they have to be like light. They can be dark still like surrealist.
You know what?
The thing is, I've seen this show like 20 fucking times already.
Yeah.
Like Peaky Blinders is this. Remember that Taboo show with Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
This is the same thing.
It's very
just like
taboo.
Some asshole walking around like Victorian London, like with a real fucking scowl on his face. That's all.
Yeah, but there's fantasy creatures, John.
And like the fantasy creatures don't add anything.
No, they don't.
Not yet.
They
will.
Like they just kind of are there to make it a fantasy story.
It's all stupid, super heavy-handed too.
The racism is.
Well, I think that's the point they're trying to... I think the problem with this show right now is one too many, possibly two too many story arcs.
There's way too many story arcs. Can
we get rid of the brother and sister?
Currently.
Because their acting is terrible.
They haven't produced really anything. There is a introduction to another character that...
The dude across the street?
Yeah. Have you not seen the guy?
No, we've met
the puck?
Yeah.
All right. So he comes into... the story of the brother and sister more in the next few episodes, but this still goes nowhere currently.
Yeah,
it has no real impact.
More heavy-handed racism stuff. All right.
It's very heavy-handed.
Let me guess.
I feel like they're going to be more important later. But the thing with the whole Jared Harris's son.
Yeah,
that is. Quite frankly, one of the stupidest things that they could get rid of. Even him in general.
Like,
just get rid
that whole story lost me when they got rid of the baby bear.
I know, that was sad.
Honestly, the baby bear was the most interesting part of the show.
They got that bear. So the Jared Harris, his whole like political theater thing gets a big twist at the end of, I want to say, the fifth episode. In a way. So that story is kind of going somewhere, but I'm not going to enjoy it if it doesn't tie into the Orlando Bloom's thing.
Yeah, like how that ties in.
Because honestly, if you cut out a lot of the fat from the show, I wouldn't mind watching a fantasy show about Orlando Bloom's character solving the crime of who's killing all the fantasy creatures. That's what I thought this show was going to be about, and that's not what I got.
Also,
that was the base of the story. Everything, what I got was just like, here's a storyline that's going nowhere. Here's another storyline that's going nowhere. Here's another one,
I knew exactly when I started this was going to be a fantasy romance.
Well, yeah, because...
this whole thing was going to be fantasy
romance. I knew that the two leads were in love with each other, and like, I didn't, like, the backstory episode, the third episode, I mean, like...
You needed it.
There was a reason why I kind of wish it was the second episode, not the third one, because it's, like, not much happens.
I'm so happy they had the third one. I am so happy they had it the third instead of the second. It was kind of I hate to say it, but it was, like, a perfect timing where it was right after the murderer did his thing.
Cthulhu.
Well, no, that's the second murder.
And then they had the episode of the backstory. I kind of liked it. Because you'll see that first episode. Well, then it's the second episode is the backstory.
Because what it was is the first episode, it was the murder, the hammer murderer.
Yep.
Then he finds him.
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's the first episode. And then he kills himself. And then the second one, the second one opens with? Yeah, opens with, well, it ends with Cthulhu.
Yeah.
And then opens with a werewolf killing a pixie, I guess, from the sewers? Because that's what it looked like. It looked like a werewolf.
You haven't seen it yet, right?
Right.
Okay. This is the change.
You saw the tentacle monster thing at the end of the first episode, which is what Sam's referring to as Cthulhu. The thing that the guy was warning that
totally
was living
Cthulhu.
In the...
Cthulhu. Like, he's standing on... Before he kills himself, he's like, they have released dark gods.
Yeah.
I think he talks about, like, ancient ones or something. I could be inserting that, I don't know, but it's like very, very strongly implied that it's Cthulhu. They also mentioned like people going mad just thinking about these gods, and
it's very heavily
what
implied
annoys me is like they
Lovecraft.
They get rid of all the interesting stuff about Cthulhu, where it's like he's almost more of a concept than a thing.
Mm.
Where it's like you just can't comprehend Cthulhu.
How does Cthulhu? What is it? Cthulhu is a god.
Cthulhu is one of the ancient gods from another dimension.
Got it. It's definitely not
who
that.
Lives in the bottom
it's
of
Cthulhu.
The ocean.
I've like, seen further
no,
than you.
I get that they make it something different, but it's Cthulhu.
Let me put it this way to you. It is. Have you seen what's the Frankenstein Chronicles?
What's the Frankenstein Chronicles show?
Have you seen Frankenstein Chronicles?
I Frankenstein. Yeah. That's it.
There we go. No. That's all the hint I'm going to give to you.
Yeah,
it's not
Cthulhu. It's Frankenstein together.
Maybe the myth of what he was saying is Cthulhu, but it's not.
No. I'm not saying it's actually Cthulhu. I'm saying the writers were like, let's put the Cthulhu in the show. And they put Cthulhu in the show.
Oh, please.
It's Cthulhu.
It's
a tentacle.
But eventually ideas are going to just keep regurgitating itself.
The one thing that this thing
allows
has
people like
going
Sean
for
to
me?
Compare it to Game of Thrones.
Okay. The one thing this show does have going for me right now
it's
is
the one thing you didn't expect
fact
it to be
that
good.
I've been playing a lot of Dishonored and Dishonored 2, and this is kind of like it almost feels like the same sort of world. Minus, you know, Dishonored doesn't have, like, you know, fantasy creatures, but there's magic and whatnot in like an industrialized quote London, but it's not London. It just kind of feels the same, so it's kind of like, I was into this video game. Let's watch this show that's kind of the same. Oh, okay.
See, you just mentioned Frankenstein Chronicles, and I just remembered Orlando Bloom is doing his best Sean Bean impression in the show.
Yeah, I like half the time, I don't know what he's saying.
Like,
I have no idea.
Like, it's not just him either. There's a bunch of people I can't understand.
Like, I'm getting strong flashbacks of Frankenstein Chronicles in the show from Orlando Bloom's performance. Yeah.
Well, it's the same style the same setting.
I'm a sucker for fantasy, so I'm probably going to watch this one through.
The weird thing that I never would have thought worked in this is the one thing that I've actually liked the most, and that's the relationship between the two main actors and actresses.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't, I thought that would fall flat and I'd just be more interested in everything else that's going on.
No.
For some reason.
The world is falling flat and their relationship's the only thing I'm like,
right?
Kind of interested in.
It's weird since Valerian, I mean, Carla Delevingne as an actress has been growing on me.
Right?
It's so weird. Kudos to her though. That means she's improving in my book. Yeah. If I'm liking the stuff more and
she's not great. In
no, but she's
but
improving.
The bar is low and
whatever.
She's at Paper Town. Just like
boom
at the bottom.
It is. It's just working. I don't know why, but it's just working. And
like after I saw that one scene where the brother and sister yell at each other, and it was just the worst acting I've ever seen.
Yeah, those two are really bad.
Those two are bad.
Those two, they're like. They're so overacting their parts, and I feel like they're being directed to overact their parts.
I hope
so. My God. Because, like, it's a weird thing, because, like, Sam, we have a sister, and, like, I feel like every time they show Victorian London, I'm not sure if they're ever, talking to their sister or their lover.
Yeah.
It's kind of like implied it's both.
I genuinely thought he was going to sleep with his sister. Yeah, and like, he may do it, but it's just...
I mean, he randomly tries to rape people. Just completely out of character. So.
Yeah, and she puts on the sex juice on her ear, so...
Yes. Yeah. The urine?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like...
That's the one story arc I really could do without.
There are parts about this show that I like, but there's too many parts that I just don't like or like are stupid. And that's the disappointing thing is I feel like there's so much potential here in this. Like, I remember watching the intro and I'm like, that's a really cool intro. Like where it's like showing the different parts of the different.
It reminds me kind of the Daredevil and.
Oh, yeah. Almost like Daredevil or like, it's really interesting. And like, then
if we explored this world more.
Yeah. I think that's what
maybe
we need.
Maybe it'd
we
be
need,
more interesting, like, but we're not.
I remember like watching it and like in the second episode, all of a sudden they come across a centaur teaching their baby centaur how to push hay. And I'm like, there's centaurs in this show? Like, I don't remember that part.
They dropped those balls too. Yeah. There's like this Puck religious group that you get introduced to. It's very, very mild. It's nothing. It's
yeah,
crazy.
But like,
but then you get introduced to like the underground, not the underground, but it's called the Black Raven. I think it's like a drug smuggling thing.
Yeah. We've been,
you become more involved with that.
Second episode dealt with that
so far.
They're slowly building out the world. And you know what? I'm really not. I don't think it's being done in a bad way. They give you a little bit, you digest it and then you move on. It's not like Mortal Engines where they threw everything at you in the beginning, hope half of it stuck to you, and then moved on with the rest. It's they're a little bit slower in their development, but there are it does fall into the trap. Episodes 4 and possibly 5 are a little slower, just building out more.
Yeah,
but then apparently the last two are, you know, real upbeat. Yeah, they're where it's at. It's like every other streaming service. So. That's what they say online. That's what I've been reading. So
okay.
I haven't spoiled it for myself, but I'm hooked on this. I like it.
I enjoy it. I'm enjoying this show, but like I wish it was different.
Like I'm gonna watch the show just because I'm sick and I don't have energy to do anything else. So I'll just keep watching the show. That's why I watched three episodes. Was I was just like, I don't know energy. Yeah.
The thing is, if they don't explore, what I really want to explore is the Pact Berg. I guess relationship is kind
like
of the best word
what's
to use
going
it.
On with that?
I kind of been more interested in that and going to, I think it's Anoon, is the place where they were actually fighting, where all the Fey are.
Yeah.
I kind of want to explore that in season 2 if they do it.
I'd be okay with
plus,
that.
Plus, every now and then they introduce a concept where I'm like, oh, so you're just like, you're just taking from our world. Like, the main religion in the Bergs is the martyr.
Yeah.
He's totally not Jesus.
I think that's what they were intending.
Yeah, but it's like you could have made your own religion. Yeah. Like, Game of Thrones had its own like Christianity, but it had its own pantheon and stuff. And
no, they had old gods and new gods. There was no real single god aside from the red.
No. That was the stand-in for like a religious group. It functioned the same way Christianity would in a medieval world.
In a way, I can see that. Yes.
So. They just kind of copy-pasted rather than kind of creating their own mythos.
I mean, full disclosure, if you're not doing anything, if you're doing anything in Victorian England or anything similar to that, God or religion is going to play a huge portion of that. So you need to have something in there.
But
Sam's thing is, there needs to be something. Why did they copy-paste? Why didn't they just create something new?
Agreed. You do get introduced to a lot more fantasy stuff in this. I will tell you that, though.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I like the fantasy aspect.
You do. There are witches that get involved.
Yeah, well, yeah, we saw a witch in episode 2. She's the one who kills that bear.
She comes back as well.
She's been helping that family for hundreds of years, so.
Did you see the son get kidnapped?
Yeah.
Did you see the son get rescued?
No, but we know who kidnapped the son.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Who knew it was the person who's always cast as the bad person? Who knew?
The bad person?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
She's not.
Yeah, she's almost always cast as like a bad
Andrina,
person.
Andrina. I forget it. I don't know. One of the sand snakes.
Yeah, she's one of the sand snakes.
Elder sand snake.
She's in Torchwood. Remember the girl who dies in the first episode of Torchwood?
And they bring her back from Rome.
And bring her back from the dead, and she like goes on a murder spree, and they have to end up killing her.
Yeah, was she really bad in Game of Thrones?
She's not really bad in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she wasn't bad in Game of
Thrones. I don't know what she wasn't.
Oh, she wasn't really bad in Game of Thrones. Yeah,
but like everything I've seen her in, I've been like, oh, she's a bad person. It's funny because so like she's in this, and then like I mentioned, so remember the Asian girl from Torchwood?
Yeah.
She's in Terror Season 2. She's like the mom.
Okay.
So it's like there's two people from that. Like I'm watching two shows, two people from Torchwood, and that brings me back to the central point. They need to bring back Torchwood because it was a good show, and not bring back that one stupid season where nobody died. Just pretend that never happened. I need more Jack Harkness in my life.
And how can we forget Jared Harris was also in Chernobyl?
Well, yeah.
Hey, guys, can I read you a headline here that like I feel like isn't exactly related to what we're talking about, but very much feels like it's exactly what we're talking about.
Why not?
All right, so this is deadline.com. This is from I guess a couple hours ago. Gretel and Hansel trailer. It star Sophia whatever faces another dark menace. And I'm just like, yeah, this is a movie we need. Yeah.
Gretel and Hansel.
Notice they switched
the not,
names.
It's not Hansel and Gretel. It's Gretel and Hansel.
They had to be.
Yeah, I got to switch it so there's no confusion. Yeah. And there need to be people facing down an evil spirit thing.
No, but too bad they didn't.
Unlike it, it's different.
It wasn't as simple as changing a letter to a number.
Okay.
Hansel plus Gretel.
No, zero to O or O to
zero. God, we're not going down with the Hawaii 5-0 train.
All right, let's put this one down.
Yeah,
it was a good podcast, but it's time to go.
All right. Well, anyway,
on that note,
send us your thoughts on Carnival Row because it's definitely split between us right now for everybody. So, you can do that on facebook.com/ Knights of Nerditude. That does it for us for this week. Until next time,
bye,
adios.